I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when this thing shall be. Just be ready, be watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these we now are having, and then Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray.
In a town called Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Even pain and loneliness, as he wore that robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he left his home above to die on Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he stood in Herod's hall, he never said one word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He heard the mob cry crucify, but he knew that he came to die. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he left his home above to die on Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he lay there in the tomb, he did what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? But then he rose up from the grave, so that I can rise someday. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he left his home above to die on Calvary, just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left
to say.
Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he lay there in the tomb, he did what he came to do. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
But then he rose up from the grave, so that I can rise someday. Wasn't that love?
Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? As he left the home above
to die on Calvary,
just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strength, still guided by the unseen hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strength, still guided by the unseen hand. I'm trusting to the unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strength, still guided by the unseen hand.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Beulah, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home will be eternal. Beulah, sweet Beulah land.
Beulah, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. Beulah land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal.
Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold a city. Until the day God calls me home. Father, we just want to stop for a moment in time just to give you thanks for another day of life, for another day of protection, Lord. Help us, give us the greed, Lord, to look into your word and to express the things that you put on our hearts, Lord, to just allow people to know the day and hour in which we're now living in, and you have a pattern in that of your word, Lord, and we can, all we have to do is follow the program, Lord. Follow that blueprint that you made thousands and millions, probably billions of years ago, Lord, when he sat down and he had yourself a great counsel, Lord. We just pray for grace to be able to express the things that we see in your word, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, everybody wants eternal life. That's really the only reason we're here for. In this world, not to enjoy ourselves, but to seek that eternal life. And the only way you find it is in the scripture, where the Bible says, this is eternal life, that they may know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. And that's been really our ambition in life, to know this great God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. And along this journey, there are all kinds of deceptions, all kinds of tricks, and all kinds of allurements to lead you off that course, off that straight and narrow path, where it said it is life eternal. It's just that simple. It's his eternal life, that they believe on him whom God had sent, that they believe on Jesus Christ, that they believe on God, and that's what it says. And then, like we keep saying over and over and over again, everybody wants eternal life, but they do not want to step in, because out there, there's all these deceptions, these preachers out there. They're a first-class deception, and we keep reminding people, we keep mentioning it. And I know it's a turn-off for a lot of people when we tell people that these people in the pulpit, they're nothing but agents of Satan. They're first-class deception. That's what the devil uses to deceive the people, because we keep going back. They keep saying, this is life eternal, that they know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent, and that is eternal life, that they may know whom God has sent. And then he goes on to say, this is going to be life eternal, that they believe on them whom I will send. And the only thing that we can find in scriptures, you got to go back to Revelation chapter 1, where John turned around and he saw these seven stars and the right hand of Jesus, and Jesus is more or less saying, that's John, that's how I'm going to communicate to the human race throughout the great age. It's through these seven stars, and anything outside of that is nothing but the agents of Satan. It's hard for people to digest that, but see, you and I, we have sought to find that eternal life all our life. We've sought in the scriptures to find that pattern and that blueprint, and we go right back when God had himself a big council over in Ephesians 1, where God had made himself a blueprint, just him and him alone. There was nobody out there. There was not a star. There was not, Jesus was not there. There was absolutely nothing, not even a planet was out there. Just that great vast human, that great vast space out there, and that great mind of God, and that great eternal spirit was sat down and had himself a council, made himself a blueprint. And then he wrote it all in the Bible. All we're doing here, we're just following that blueprint. Like I say, this is going to be eternal life that they believe on them whom I will send, because the grace age is such a priceless thing in the eyes of God. He's not going to just give every Tom, Dick, and Harry to go up there in the pulpit and preach some garbage, really. That's all it is. And I know it's hard for people to believe what we're saying here, that these people in these pulpits, they're nothing but agents of Satan. They're out there to deceive, because God's not going to give these fly-by-night the responsibility to lead souls to the Lord. That's why he sent these seven stars, and each one, that Apostle Paul, when you read the things that Paul wrote, you can just see that angel behind. This is the revelation that God, that great eternal spirit, he gave it to Jesus. And then Jesus, he gives it to that angel of the revelation of the church age of Ephesus. He gave it to Paul, the revelation. He gave it to that angel, and that angel came down and spoke to Paul in the night, at the great apostle Paul, to write the things that's in there. Ephesus and the Corinthians and all these things were inspired by that angelic host, by that first church age messenger, which was none other than that one of those stars that Jesus held in his right hand. And then we come right up, we're living right now, and the church age of Laodicea. That's why we keep hammering away and hammering away on the fact that God and the seven church age and the church age of Laodicea sent an apostle, sent a prophet and an apostle to back up exactly what we're saying here. And that, but in the days of Noah, when he shall begin to sound, he began with the word of brother Branham. That's how he began his journey. And the church age of Laodicea began in 1906, and then in 1933, a voice out of heaven came. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming, so is your message going to forerun my second coming. The things we're saying here is absolutely 100% accurate. And I'm not going to trust these donkeys out there that stand in the pulpit of this world trying to teach things that's not true. Because if... when the end of the day, and you're going to find out to be true, you're nothing but agents of Satan. Because anything outside of that, that these church age messages, the seven church age messages is just going to end up nothing. Because you can go back in history, and you can go back and find out what these people thought, what that brought it on.
I don't know why it's so hard for people to really come to accept that. Because when you will go back to the days of Jesus, who were the ones that were always standing in the way for Jesus to help the people and to get them to believe and have faith in what God was doing? It mm-hmm. was those religious leaders. It yeah. was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, and the religious leaders. Those were the ones that were always standing in the way for people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you will look at the white horse rider in the first seal started riding, that the age that Antichrist spirit started going out, where in the church age of Ephesians, those were the leaders that were starting to create confusion, those bishops. That they had such a confused picture by the time 325 AD came along, that the water baptism was totally distorted, and Constantine brought in 325 the Trinity water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's a Trinity baptism. That's not a real baptism. And then you go to Irenaeus. He was always preaching against these teachings that were false, and those were those religious leaders that mm-hmm. were bringing out those false teaching. It wasn't the people, it wasn't the laity, it was religious leaders. And you can go down through the pages of those seven stars, who were the ones who were always coming against what God was doing. Mm-hmm. It was the devil through these religious leaders. You go to Martin Luther, who was oppressing the people. it was those popes and those priests that were oppressing the people. And Martin Luther received the revelation that just shall live by faith. And that set the people free, because it was by faith, not by their creeds or their dogmas, their catechisms and all their purgatory thing that kept people in bondage. Their confession to the priest, and they had to give money, and it was a bondage. The Dark Ages, if ever there was a Dark Ages, that was the Dark Ages, and that was brought on by these priests, by these religious leaders. And who was the ones that were giving John Wesley opposition? It was really those churches. He went to
his own family.
Yes, he went to his father's church. When the Lord saved him, he went back to his father's church, and they didn't want him there. Mm-hmm. Because they said, you're a radical, you're a rebel. And they chased him away. And he had to go out in the open field, and that was his pulpit. And that's where he spoke. In Brother Brenham Hour, the seventh star, a messenger. And who was the ones that were always opposing him? It was the church leaders. The religious organization was always at his back. And they were always hounding him down to follow their agenda, mm-hmm. not God's agenda. See, that's how you can see. This is not something new here. This has always been the religious leaders that have been the obstacle of what God was doing and moving people onward.
And you can bring it into today's hour, like here, the church hated Laodicea. The churches, they knocked out Brother Brenham. They didn't want to hear him, and then at the end of his ministry, they more or less, they had nothing to do with him. And then we come into the era of Raymond M. Jackson, and then the Brenhamites, they do the very same thing that the churches did to Brother Brenham. They just called him a blackbird, and they made sure that nobody comes near the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. And here it says all Brother Jackson was doing, he was just fulfilling that scripture where it says in the days of the void. Now this is now the only church age where that scripture is read out like that. But in the days of the void, when it shall begin, you and I are the only two people that are looking at that word begin. On that word begin is all that weight is on that word begin, because it introduces the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. The other six church ages, there is that word begin is not there. But here in this end time, in this age of deception, God is not going to trust anything except outside of that apostolic and that prophetic ministry. So when Brother Brenham goes off the scene, that word begin gets activated, and here he continues on with the vocal cord of Raymond M. Jackson and the Brenhamite. They're going to do everything they can to shut that thing down and to make sure that you don't even go near that Raymond M. Jackson ministry. And that's what they're doing. That's what these Brenhamites are. Like, as of about a week or two ago, the Lord gave me the green light to go after these Brenhamites, after these deceivers, and now I'm saying it exactly the way it needs to be said, to expose it. What they have been doing since 1965, they worked overtime to try to hide the fact that God did anoint Raymond M. Jackson, and he was the continuation from that voice of that angel. It's that angel that you got to be focused on, not the person. It's not Brother Brenham. It's just the vocal cord of Brother Brenham. And then they worship the man, and they think the man, oh, the prophet said it, the prophet said it, the prophet, the prophet, the prophet. Brother Brenham, Brother Brenham, Brother Brenham. And there they almost get drunk with that name, Brother Brenham. And all they're doing, they're following that bruised serpent. But see, God already had a vessel that he's going to use when Brother Brenham goes off. See, God, he made that blueprint back there in Ephesians chapter 1, and he just continued on, and here he comes down, and he takes Brother Brenham out because it was back in the council, and then he's got Brother Jacks already riding that horse, already prepared and ready to take over where Brother Brenham left out. Like I say, he's not going to trust it to all these donkeys that stand in the pulpit of this world, trying to push Brother Jackson aside and take over, trying to become the successor to William Branham. That's what that biblical system is all about. That's what these Hildebrands and all these people out there over in Africa, 10,000 people in that one congregation there, And that's what they're doing. They're trying to prove to the people that they're it, and that God, just to keep you away from the fact that God sent Raymond M. Jackson. That's what the devil does. He does everything he can to prove God wrong. That's what's going on over in Israel. That's why he's fighting over in Israel. The devil is there trying to prove God's wrong, the word of God wrong, trying to make sure that the Jews never get that land that God promised Abraham. That's all the conflicts are for in this world. It's just the devil there trying to stop God's program from going ahead. And like I say, I didn't realize what that bread of movement was all about until here some time ago when the Lord gave me the green light. Go ahead and go ahead, expose it for what it is. It's nothing but the agents of Satan that stand in the pulpits of the Brother Brennan, Brother Brennan. And if they hear me say that, they think we're blaspheming. No, we're just telling you the program that God had when he set it up way back. And you can go back and read Revelation chapter 1, where John turned around and he saw the seven stars. And like I say, we're now in the church of the Laodicea. That's why we keep saying that if you don't have that ministry, that Brother Branham and that prophet, then you might as well just have nothing, because it just, that's the only thing that we're talking about. And then all we're doing, our job is simply to keep a line on what these two anointings brought. That's all we're doing. That's our job. And I tell you what, we're pretty good at our job. I remember back when I was electrician, I was good at my job. And when we were trucking, the guy knew he could trust us with the truck. You know, we'd get that load there right on time, and he would always calling us when he had a tough load to deliver, because we're doing a good job. And we're doing a good job here too, because there's nothing that's going to slip through our fingers. We're going to expose it for what it is. It's nothing but they're nothing but agents of Satan, because at the end of the day, when Jesus comes and he takes that scripture, takes the light, and he comes through and looks through the camp, and he calls them, "You workers of iniquity." Oh, did you in your name stand in the pulpits of this world? Yeah, I never knew. You depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You've got to look at the finished product. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to expose it before it's too late, so people can take a look at these dummies out there in that pulpit. They're keeping people in bonds, like these Hutterites. That preacher, all he does is preach to promote that Hutterite thing. And there he gets all that free labor. Mm-hmm. All at the end of the day, all it is building up another commune, building up another system, building up another... All it is a Roman Catholic system. That's all it is. It's pure slavery. And it's not setting the people free.
No,
that's
not.
All we're doing. We're just exposing it. We're doing our job, and we're doing a good job exposing it. That's what... Mm-hmm. We've been in their torture chambers long enough, and we know how they're keeping the people in bondage. All they're doing, they're keeping people away, like these Brennanites. They're keeping the people away from the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson. And for you and I, we found that gold mine. Mm-hmm. It's just a glorious, tremendous truth that man brought up. And it wasn't really just, like I said, it's the book, of course, of Raymond M. Jackson. It wasn't Raymond M. Jackson that got this tremendous revelation. It was that angel.
It was the inspiration of God, but he worked through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that was found worthy because of what he did at Calvary. And then that angel was ministering to those messengers that was to bring the message to each church age. It says in Matthew 23:13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Now you can say this too, "But woe unto you, scribes," you can say here, "woe unto you, Hutterites and Brennamites, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." See, that's what they're really doing. They're keeping people from entering into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. That's what they're doing. The Brennanites are doing that to those that want to go in and listen to Brother Jack, call him a blackbird, and then they oust him. You know, like I was saying the other day, there's nobody that'll invite us in their house, because I believe that Brother Jackson wants that continuation. Like we're just telling people the truth, man. We're just giving the green light. We're calling you and I, he brought us together to do one thing and one thing, to hold the line of the truth that these two anointings brought. Well, even these two men. I keep saying these two anointings, because God anointed that, and that angel went and talked to Brother Branham, and then when he goes off the south, he took the vote, of course, of Raymond M. Jackson. I keep saying it over and over and over again, because it's such a hard sell, and this age of deception, when I tell people that thing out there, that thing in these pulpits, they're nothing but agents of Satan. I remember back in the day when I told my son, you know, I said, these churches out there, they're nothing but deceivers. And he thought that was crazy. But now, as we come closer and closer to the end time, you can see exactly what it is. It's nothing but agents of Satan, and they're out there to deceive the very elect, if it would be found. That's what Jesus said. Well, what says is going to happen at the end time. If it would be possible, even the very elect would be deceived. They would deceive us in a heartbeat if they could. But see, we don't give them an ear. We know exactly. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, Satan's cunning devices. Just like that early church, they saw these antichrists coming in. But there's nothing they could do about it. It had to run its course. It had to go, and they had to come into the church, and the church had to go into the dark ages, into that, because it has to type that. The kernel of corn that was put in the ground, and there throughout the dark ages, there lay that kernel in the dark ages. And then when Martin Luther came on the scene, that little kernel of corn, it started sprouting, and then it started growing. And first you brought the first leaf, and then you brought that's the ministry of John Wesley, and then Brother Brennan, and finally he came up to the stock, and finally here it is. Now we're just waiting for that kernel to be ripe again, and it's exactly going to be exactly what was put in the ground in the first place. The first church will be exactly like the last, because when you put that kernel in the ground, all it can produce is another kernel. That's what we're doing here. And then you got all these opposing forces trying to stop it from happening, you know. And it's just, to you and I, it's so simple that we can actually have a conversation, put it out there. And then what they do then, they know that, they all know that Brother Jackson was that man. So what do? They go down to Billy Paul and to Joseph Branham as if they're going to have the answer. You know, the sons of the sons of Brother Branham, they got to have it, because it can't be Raymond and Jack.
That's right.
It's got to be the sons of the prophet. So the same thing happened back in the early church. They knew that the Apostle Paul was that special envoy that God had honed out before the foundation of the world. And here comes the Apostle Paul. But see what they did. They had a number against the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. So what did they do? They go up to James, the brother of Jesus, he's the one that has it, you know. He's actually the have. Well, he's not even connected to Jesus. He's just come out of the same family structure, kind of like. So what did they do? They go up to James and ask him. But see, Paul was their spokesman for their hour there. They're doing the same thing today. Going down to Billy Paul, going down to Joseph Reynolds, like he's the Mr. Know-it-all, you know. Mm-hmm. But they all have to come under the ministry of Raymond and Jacks. Otherwise, they'll just be another bunch of deceivers. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do about it.
You can look in the Old Testament and see how that anointing works, like how God called out Abraham. And then there was Isaac and Jacob and the 12 patriarchs. And then he had a vessel to bring them out of Egyptian bondage. He had Moses, and he was a chosen vessel. He was not just somebody that went and decided that's what he's going to do. He had to wait on God until God showed up and said, okay, now's the time, let's go and set my people free. And then he was able to do it. He couldn't do it on his own, but it was through that anointing that God put on Moses, because he had that anointing, because when he, there came a time when it was overburdened for him, and then God took some of the spirit of Moses and and divided it up to other people so they could help with that, doing the judging the people, because it was too much of a burden for Moses having to sit there day and night to judge all their problems that were coming up. So that was that anointing that was resting on Moses. And you can see how the prophets had that anointing, that they were a chosen vessel. And you come to the grace age, it's no different. God had these men chosen before the foundation of the world that to do that specific job. Like Jesus said to Paul, he's a chosen vessel for me to go speak to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what Paul did. His ministry totally switched over and he went to the Gentiles, and Peter stayed with the Jews. And you come to see how the transition was happening, that Paul was that first church age messenger to the church age of Ephesus. And that's the same way down through time, that God had Irenaeus, he had Martin, he had Columba, and he had Martin Luther, Wesley, and the last one, the seventh one, was William Marion Branham. But we know because God was continuing on with Brother Jackson because of the many dreams that God gave to Brother Jackson. Brother Branham came to him and told him and asked him to go speak for him. Three times he asked him, he said to Brother Jackson, "I want you to go speak for me." And Brother Jackson said, "They won't listen to me anyway." And Brother Branham did not even consider that. And he continued to say, "I want you to go speak for me." And he said it again, "They won't believe me." And Brother Branham said once again, "I want you to go speak for me." See, these are the things that God was letting people know. If they only have a respect of the movement of God and who the ministry, where you can see that anointing resting, the only one where you could really witness the anointing was under the ministry of Brother Jackson. The Branhamites will not give you that. Brother Jackson had that anointing, and anybody who has ever been in his meetings will realize that was where the anointing was resting.
But they keep the door locked, mm-hmm. like you're really there. They didn't tell one come in, and then what they do, they work overtime to make sure nobody comes in. Like I said, I told you about that. I went to see that Denny Fair and that Eugene Braun, and I told them that God sent that Raymond M. Jackson. Then I told that Eddie Bishop, called him aside when I went up to that funeral, that Raymond M. Jackson was that man. And then I went and talked to Lance LaRue, and he saw the tapes that I was going to give him. He said, "I'm not even going to look at it. See, it's unpardonable mm-hmm. sin to have anything to do with Raymond M. Jackson. And behind it is the spirit of Satan, just keeping the door closed, just like that killdeer, keeping you away from the real thing, try to lure you away from the nest." And that's exactly what's going on. But see, I got no respect for those kinds of people, because they're just out to destroy what God is doing and trying to stand in the way, trying to keep people, lead people astray. And at the end of the day, they don't have nothing. Mm-hmm. They completely got, all they got is a history of deception, a history of keeping people in the dark. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm so vehemently opposed against these Branhamites. Finally, the Lord gave me the green light to go ahead and expose it for exactly what it is. They're nothing but agents of Satan. No matter how many times they say, "Brother Branham, Brother Branham," they think they're doing God an honor. They think they're doing good. But what they're doing, they're feeding off that brood serpent, like we keep saying over and over again. But see, we've been put together to keep a line on this word, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to make sure that they're not going to get, not on our watch, they're going to get past. They're going to be exposed to exactly what they are. They're nothing but agents of Satan. I don't care how many, how good they look, how good they can preach, how many people they got on their watch. They're nothing but deceivers. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. And
it's like with every church organization structure out there. Like when all this confusion set in with all these ministers, when Brother Jackson passed away, with their ideologies and with their idea of time, And the Lord gave me the scripture to remember the things that I've been taught and from whom I've been taught them from. And he said, if they don't hold on to those doctrines, then withdraw. And that's what we had to do. We had to withdraw from this group here, the Lyle Cook group. And through the process of it all, one of the couple from this group here, they asked me out, over to one of the restaurants for supper. And I just joined them for a dessert, and they were... what was behind the spirit of there was trying to get me away from Brother Jackson and over to the Lyle Cook side, because mm-hmm. I already had made my cut from them, because I didn't agree with what Lyle Cook was bringing out, saying the cutoff was in 56 instead of what Jesus was crucified in 33 A.D., what Brother Jackson went over, that was the cutoff, and it falls in line with Daniel 9. It's not just hearsay. It is scripturally backed up. And they were going on, and behind it was a spirit to get me away from Brother Jackson, believing what Lyle was saying. And I said to them, you know what? I know what I felt when I sat under the ministry of Brother Jackson, and nobody is going to take that away from me. And that's the same way with all these organized churches. There's people that want to draw me into their fellowship, into their Bible studies. And I tell them, you know what? This is not going to work, me fellowshipping with you, because I don't agree with you. How can I fellowship with you?
Yeah, man. That couple that called you out for supper, they had one ambition all to get you away from me, because the devil knew as long as you and I are together, we're a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. That was the whole purpose of that one. That was to Lyle engineer this thing. Mm-hmm. He told them to go see if they can't get you. He didn't word it like that, but the behind it was the spirit of Satan to see if he can't drive a wedge between mm-hmm. you and I. Because the devil knows that without you, I'm crippled. What's the point in me just doing this here by myself? I don't know how to run that computer. I don't know how to get it out there. But God beckoned that great counsel, that great mind, and that great wisdom. He knew exactly what he was doing when he raised you up as a little girl and you got interested about the things of God. He knew exactly what he was bringing, everything, preparing everything for the day and hour that we're now living in. And I was just going to say, I saw it again. It says, he that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet, he will receive a prophet's reward. Like, you can never do what, they can never do what you and I are doing. All they got to do is believe it, because it says here in the Bible, Jesus said, he that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. You're going to get that exactly when these rewards are handed out. You're going to get exactly what we're getting. And you didn't even have to do nothing about it. All you got to do is believe us. I just saw it the other day. I've seen it forever, but the Lord wanted me to mention, he that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Here, Brother Brennan, for 40 years, he's out there preaching his heart out. And all we got to do is believe what he said. And then, all we're doing, we're already believing what he said, and we're putting it out there. Now, if we believe what we're saying, because we're only believing what that prophet said, and that chief apostle. Now, if you believe what we're saying, you're going to get the same dose, you're going to get the same reward, and you're going to get the same glory throughout eternity, because the Bible is running true to form. He that believes a prophet and the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. There's nothing you have to do about it. You just believe it. And so I keep saying over and over again, it's all about believing. I read it again yesterday. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. See? And all you people have to do is to believe what we're saying, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll somehow get you into that marriage supper of the Lamb, and into that glorious thing, whatever is up the road here, so you won't have to go through this. All you got to do is believe it. Nobody has to know about it. You can keep it to yourself. Just Just in your heart, you know, what you and I are saying here is 100% the gospel truth. Because we go back when God had that great council, when he sat down and made a blueprint. And all we're doing, we're following that blueprint, and we're doing exactly what he has on us out to do, to keep a line on this word, what these two great anointings brought to the church age of Laodicea. And there's nobody going to get past our watch, because that's what we're on out to do. We're going to make sure that they're going to be exposed. We're exposing that Brenham, I think. We're exposing that Eddie Bishop. We're exposing all these people out there and the pulpits of this world. Brother Brenham, Brother Brenham, Brother Brenham. The prophet, the prophet, the prophet. Like all, everything is singled in on that prophet. Instead of the voice behind the voice, it's that angel that spoke to Brother Brenham. And then when Brother Brenham left the scene, that angel spoke to Brother Jack. If they would tell the people that, they would be doing something. It would be, they would have a reward someday. Just like I'm just finished saying, he that believes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the same thing goes for that apostle. If you believe what Brother Jackson came along and said, you will receive that reward. And then you come along and you believe what we're trying to tell people here, you will receive the same reward we're getting. Simply because it's a chain reaction. Just continue right back from that first church age messenger. But this is what Jesus said. This is going to be eternal life. That believe on them whom I will send. And he sent these seven church age. He sent these seven angels. Each church age had a name. Angelic messenger. And just that simple. It just, these angels just took over the vocal cords of that great apostle Paul. That angel in the days of Irene just took over the vocal cords of Irene. That's why he could combat all these forces that were coming against him. In the days of Martin Luther, that angel took over the vocal cords of Martin Luther to just to live by faith. And on it goes. And here we're in the closing days of time. It's just the final and last chapter. All we're doing, we're not bringing up something. We're just containing and holding on to the truths that these two great anointings brought. That's about as simple as I can put it. Pray.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for everything you do for us, Lord, for safety, for home, for health and well-being, for everything you've allowed us to see and witness in your word, Lord. We just pray that you'll inspire it, because we know it's the truth. We know what you've done in this Laodicea church age and throughout history, Lord. That it was your anointing, Lord, that you covered over these men. And we just pray, Lord, that you will inspire it and anoint it and open up the hearts of people, Lord, so they can believe, Lord, and have faith in what you are doing and have been doing, Lord, that you want eternal life for people, Lord, and you want the best for mankind. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.